समीरितं निशम्य वेधास्त्रिदशान् उवाचः गां खोपोरुषिं मे शृणुतामरा पुनर्विधीयतम् आशु तत्तैव माचिरम्।
While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It appears that the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be heard in trance by competent persons. Modern science gives us telephones by which one can hear sound vibrations from a distant place. Similarly, although other persons cannot hear the words of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma is able to hear the Lord's words within himself. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma received the instructions of Vedic knowledge from Lord Vishnu through the medium of the heart, Hridaya. The same principle is confirmed herewith. While Brahma was in trance, he was able to hear the words of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and he carried the Lord's message to the demigods. Similarly, in the beginning, Brahma first received the Vedic knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the core of the heart. In both instances, the same process was used in transmitting the message to Lord Brahma. In other words, although Lord Vishnu was invisible even to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma could hear Lord Vishnu's words through the heart. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is invisible even to Lord Brahma, yet he descends on this earth and becomes visible to people in general. This is certainly an act of his causeless mercy. But fools and non-devotees think that Krishna is an ordinary historical person. Because they think that the Lord is an ordinary person like them, they are described as mudha, abhajanantima mudha. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neglected by such demoniac persons who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and who therefore misinterpret them. Translation is, while in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without a delay. Om Agyavancha Kalpatarupyas Chakripasandubya Evacha Utitanam Bhavanipyo Vaishyavayapyo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Brahma is perfectly accepting the divine position as a spiritual master or representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Within the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the most important concern when we are looking for a spiritual master is that the spiritual master never puts himself in the position of God, never claims to be God, but claims only to be the humble servant of the Lord, the instrument in the hands of God. Such a person need not perform wonderful magical feats for the adoration of the people of this world, but rather he simply, in a humble and dutiful manner, accepts the position of a messenger on behalf of Krishna. He simply presents God's word on this earth, simply presents God's glories on this earth. In fact, takes no credit, but gives all credit to the previous acharyas and to Krishna. In other words, the real guru is a transparent via medium to Krishna. And we find here Lord Brahma is so humbly and perfectly accepting this position. The demigods are in great need. Together with Mother Earth, or Bhumi, they are approaching Lord Brahma in a very humble state of mind, because they are in great distress. They have been conquered and misused. Nowhere does Lord Brahma in any way claim that he could help them, that he could save them, or even that he has anything to tell them. But immediately, he goes to Krishna. And here it is explaining how. In his own devotional trance, meditation and prayer, he was begging the Lord to reveal his mercy upon these people. And of course, Krishna always reciprocates the desires of his great devotees. This is why they approached Lord Brahma, because they knew of his great devotion, that he had access to the heart of Krishna through his bhakti. So Lord Brahma was simply offering Krishna the situation of these people, and then he was offering these great personalities the word of Krishna. So in one sense, he is simply taking the position of a vessel, of an instrument in Krishna's hands. And how wonderful it is that Lord Brahma, the original living entity, Adi Kavi, the first spiritual master of the Brahma Sampradaya, and the father of all living beings, such an exalted position he has in the worldly sense, the most exalted. But he understands that really his only true position, Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas, to serve Krishna, to repeat the word
Krishna. And he's giving the demigods the perfect explanation that a guru gives his disciple. Krishna says in Gita, Hari Prashnena Sevaya, that it is the duty of the disciple to inquire submissively and to render service. And it is the duty of the representative of God to give the word of Krishna and then to somehow or other inspire that person to execute it. So, hear what he has said. O demigods, hear from me the order of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Hear submissively and render service. So, according to Gita, the true disciple and spiritual master relationship is perfectly being illustrated here in this wonderful verse. And certainly it is the good fortune, because through the agency of Lord Brahma's grace, Krishna is about to appear on this earth. So similarly, if we are willing to hear submissively and render service to the Lord through his representative, then Krishna will also take birth within our own lives. He will advent himself within our very hearts. And this is the beautiful instruction of this verse. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this purport that the Supreme Lord is invisible. There is not easy access, even in the heavenly planets, to Lord Brahma. In Brahma Loka, such an exalted position in this material world, where the duration of life is literally billions of years, where memory is infallible, where piety is impeccable, in such an advanced stratum of existence, even Lord Brahma, he has to enter into divine trance. And then it is described, he only hears the voice of Narayana. Very difficult to be seen. But the Supreme Lord is so inconceivably merciful, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that he descends in this earth and allows everyone to see him. Allows everyone to hear him directly. When Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, although it was a confidential talk between Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna was so kind that all the millions of soldiers on that battlefield, they could all hear him perfectly. As far as audible reception, there was not a sound. It was pin drop silent, as both armies on both sides simply had their eyes glued to Krishna and Arjuna as they saw him speaking. And what to speak of the millions of soldiers on that battlefield? But those very words put by Vyasadeva into writing have been read by billions of people over the millenniums. Although Krishna is so difficult to achieve, he has made himself so easy out of his love. Causeless mercy means we do not deserve it. Krishna has no reason to come to this earth save and except to show his love to those who have betrayed him. The people of this world are those who have betrayed Krishna, who have rebelled against Krishna, who are constantly engaged in the process of blaspheming Krishna in one way or other. Yet Krishna, so kind, he comes to this world just to show his mercy and to attract such, give a chance for these people to be attracted again to him. And when he comes to the world, he performs such wonderful activities just to establish himself as the Supreme Godhead. How he was born from Devaki. How he killed the demoness, Putana, when he was only infant child. And then Trinavarta, when he was only baby. Powerful asuras. How he took care of Nanda Maharaj's 900,000 cows at such a young age. And then he lifted the Govardhan Hill at the age of 7. And killed Kamsa when he was only about 12 and a half years old. The most powerful Rakshasa on the earth. And Krishna effortlessly, like playing with a toy, he dragged Kamsa down, and with one blow from his fist, he killed that mighty demon. How is these things possible? Krishna comes to reveal the glory and the infinite mercy of God on earth. Krishna comes to show us that he is not at all like him. And yet, still, most people, when they see Krishna, when they hear about Krishna, they do not appreciate. They are ungrateful. They find fault with Krishna. Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanamashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhutameshma. They consider Krishna to be someone like you or me. And most people in the world are of this consciousness. If you leave India, most people consider Krishna simply to be a mythological figure. They don't even believe that it ever happened, although he appeared in such a wonderful way only 5,000 years ago. And Vyasadeva has put it in writing. They believe it's some sort of fiction, something for the less intelligent people, just to give them something to believe in for security in life. Otherwise, without having something like this to believe in, they will be insecure. They will not be able to function properly in society. So let's write some fairy tale-like stories, and unless the ignorant masses will simply believe it and feel that it will give them the impetus for a higher grade of morality and some hope in their hopeless existence. And in India, many people also, they do not believe. And most that do believe, they really feel that Krishna, yes, historically he was there, but he was a great man. He was a very good politician. He didn't always do everything exactly the way he should have done things, but we all make mistakes. In this way, they take Krishna to be ordinary. How is it possible? And yet Krishna keeps coming. That is what is so wonderful and amazing. Although he, out of his causeless mercy, displays such love only for the sake of giving hope, enlightenment, ultimate joy to his children, the majority are ungrateful. They even condemn him in so many ways for what he has done.
Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaya.
And even those that accept that, yes, Krishna is God, he is the Supreme, how many follow him? How many follow what he has said? Hardly one.
How ungrateful. And yet, as far as Krishna is concerned, if even one person in this whole universe accepts his mercy, he's very happy. As the representative of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada used to say, he went through so much toil and so much tremendous difficulty to bring this Krishna consciousness movement to various places of the world. You cannot imagine how much opposition and how much treacherous circumstances he had to endure, and the types of people he had to deal with constantly for years. And even after doing so, so much rejection, even by those who he was trying to please. And Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, if even one of you surrenders to Krishna and becomes his pure devotee, even one, then I will consider that my mission was successful. He was reaching out for the world, but he was grateful for even that one. So Krishna is also like that. Prabhupada describes when Krishna appeared on earth, only the five Pandavas truly understood that he was God. Nobody else. Practically, the Brijbasis, they just saw him as friend, lover, son. But that is something else. That is Vrindavan. He didn't come to deliver them. He came to play with them. He came to reveal the love of Vraja to the world. But most of the world, even when Krishna was manifesting himself right before them and performing so many incredible miracles, they could not understand that he was the Supreme Godhead. Why? It is said in the Bible that he who has ears, let him hear. If we do not want to understand, even if Krishna manifests himself right before our eyes, we will not understand. Sometimes people say that if God is so good, why doesn't he just come before me and just give me faith? He did it 5,000 years ago and still hardly anyone had faith. If you have this desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, even if he does, you'll find some excuse to justify, well, why this isn't really the way it is, so let me go on enjoying. This is the problem. Krishna showed the universal form to Duryodhana and Arjuna. Arjuna surrendered. Duryodhana just made, he saw it right before his eyes. Not only did he see it, but everybody around him saw it. All of his ministers, his soldiers. And what did he do? He made so many justifications. Well, it wasn't really what it appeared to be. So let's prepare for this war. As long as the influence of this mentality of Duryodhana is within us. And what is that influence? The influence to lord it over material nature. To be the proprietor, to be the enjoyer. As long as that is strongly rooted and we do not want to give it up, it might be in us. It is in us, is that we cannot deny. But at least we should want to give it up. And if we sincerely and genuinely want to leave behind our own selfish motives and become God's devotee, then when we hear his message, we will have faith. When we see the Murti, we will have faith. When we hear the holy name, we will have faith. But if our desire is to continue to lord it over material nature, then even if Krishna comes before us and shows us his universal form, we still will not have faith. We'll find some excuse to explain everything in just a way that we can go on with our sense gratification. So the problem is not in Krishna, the problem is in us. So many people say, show me God. If there is a God, why doesn't he appear before me? This world is so full of troubles and difficulties. Why doesn't he just come before our eyes and prove to us that he is supreme and allow us to just very easily become devotees? He is. Krishna is as much in his name, as much in the Archavigraha, as much in his teachings, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita, as he was on this earth 5,000 years ago when he was living in the palace of Dwarka. Why did Krishna, of all places, when he was on this earth, take an isolated little island in the middle of the ocean to live? He came to distribute his mercy on this planet. Why not go in the middle of a big city somewhere where everybody could see him? Did you ever ask this question? He came for the sake of all the residents of Earth, and he ended up in a little island in the ocean, which was practically inaccessible to anyone except the Yadus. The reason was because people wanted to kill him. People wanted to destroy him and destroy all those who were near and dear to him. Mathura was a big city. It was a capital. And Jarasandha and so many asuras, they were attacking again and again and again to kill Krishna. This is the gratefulness when he comes to earth. And most of the people of the earth were followers of these demons for some reason or other. So try to understand that it is not that 5,000 years ago everyone was so fortunate that Krishna was dancing with them and speaking to them and was present before them, and now we're less fortunate because Krishna is not here to see. If you have the mentality to accept Krishna now, you will understand Krishna is here right now. And if you do not have that consciousness now, even if you were existing at that time, you would not accept Krishna. Through the sadhus, through the shastra, Krishna is explaining to us that I'm not different than my name. Is the name not here? Krishna. Are the miracles of God not taking place right before our eyes 24 hours a day? Why our hearts and our ears are so closed? The problem is in our receptivity. The sun shines for everyone, but we want to hide in the dark caves of our own ego. We want to be God. One who wants to be God, the more Krishna appears, the more we see competition. We see a threat. Those who do not want to associate with Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, those who are not anxious to come to the temple to be with their devotees, the representatives of Guru Maharaj, we can understand they're having serious problem. What it means is they, whatever they say, they can make so many excuses, but really what it is they want to simply enjoy independent of Krishna, and they don't want to be bothered by hearing about surrender. They don't want to face Krishna face to face. So please try to understand that Krishna is here. And if you have the eyes to see him, he will reveal himself. And if you don't, it's not a question of historical time reference, where we are, at what time, and what place. In fact, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is even more here in the form of his name than he was then, because it's more easily accessible. So, by following in the footsteps and of these great souls, and opening our ears to receive Krishna, and having the willingness to execute the order of Krishna, even at the time when Krishna incarnated in this world, the beginning of his descent was through sound vibration. Brahma said, "Hear what Krishna has said. Execute without delay what he has spoken, and you will see him and be with him directly." That is what Brahma was explaining. Is there any difference now? The process is eternal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Is there any question?